My guest at this time is Scott Spradling, former news director at WMUR-TV in New Hampshire. You often see them associated with coverage of the New Hampshire primary, which, of course, is on Tuesday. Scott is now head of the Spradling Group, but he's still got his finger on the pulse of New Hampshire politics and joins us now with what we might be able to expect when the votes are actually counted on Tuesday. And, Scott, it's always good to have you with us.
Greg, it's my pleasure.
We know, historically speaking, winning Iowa is not exactly a shot in the arm, necessarily, when it comes to the New Hampshire primary. We saw just last cycle, actually, Mike Huckabee did great in Iowa, didn't do well at all in New Hampshire. Barack Obama won handily in Iowa and was supposed to win in New Hampshire, but didn't. Hillary Clinton ended up winning. So given the fact that Iowa was essentially a tie between Romney and Santorum, did either one of them get a major bump coming into the Granite State?
That's a good question, Greg, and I think you point out the history between the two states very accurately. Granite State voters do not take direct cues from anyone, especially from Iowa. Now, with that said, there is sort of a traditional Iowa bounce. You get it mainly through the media, and you usually can count on, I've seen poll experts say, 5-6 points is what you can maybe expect from a convincing victory or something good happening in Iowa, but there are plenty of exceptions. To answer your question, Greg, I actually think both men have benefited. Because remember, going into Iowa, even a few weeks before, Mitt Romney wasn't expected to win the state. He was in the pack. He was a few points behind. They were talking about other candidates. And he surged up, and even if it was a tie, even if technically he didn't win Iowa, the media gave him the victory. He won by 8 votes. That was the headline, and it was a sort of a comeback victory. Santorum, similarly, came out of nowhere in Iowa and is almost reintroducing himself to the voting public, even though he spent a lot of time here in New Hampshire. I believe both men got a bounce out of it, and whether that makes a huge difference in the polls pre-Iowa to post-Iowa here in New Hampshire, we'll find out tomorrow.
Staying on Santorum for just a moment, obviously in Iowa, the conventional wisdom is that a lot of social conservatives, evangelical voters, play a major role there. That's why Huckabee won in 2008. That's why Santorum, they say, did very well just last week. In New Hampshire, doesn't necessarily tend to vote along those same lines in the same type of numbers. And so we're kind of seeing Rick Santorum re-identify himself a little bit as this son and grandson of blue-collar roots, grandson of a coal miner, certainly represented Pennsylvania, which is a swing state. How well do you think that's playing up there?
Well, that's a really good question. There's sort of two Rick Santorums at work right now. And again, your analogy between Huckabee and Santorum is a very good one. If you recall, in 2008, Huckabee only got about 11% here in the New Hampshire primary vote after winning Iowa and hoping for a bounce that just didn't happen. Rick Santorum is playing it smarter. He's not making the same speeches here as he was in Iowa. He's talking more to the crowds. I'm not saying he's being disingenuous. He's just approaching it differently. And the reason I say there's two Rick Santorums is because on the campaign trail, he has run into what I would consider problems associated with the success of Iowa. The crowds are larger, the focus is more intense, the glare is a little bit brighter from the media, and the questions are sharper. None of that was something he expected, everything he wanted, but he's on a shoestring budget with a small handful of handlers. They're almost overwhelmed by the attention, and a few of the steps have been what I would consider almost missteps on the trail. But on the flip side, 2 debates in 12 hours in New Hampshire over the weekend, and he performed pretty well in both of them. He didn't necessarily beat anybody. He didn't stand out outside of Newt Gingrich on Sunday in his attacks against Mitt Romney, but he performed well enough to look somewhat presidential, building credibility, and did himself a good favor by performing well in both debates.
As for Romney, the last poll I saw showed him with a 13-point lead, which I think anybody would probably want heading into the 24 hours before folks go to the polls. But compared to where he was just a few days ago, at a plus 20 points in some surveys, it suggests that he's slipping a little bit, and some of the ones that are behind him are catching up, at least to some extent. It's still obviously a very comfortable lead. What are his expectations, do you think, and do you think he's got much to worry about as a result of that little bit of a trend?
Well, and again, a good question, Greg. I think the most of the debate right now around these numbers is what will the margin of victory be for Mitt Romney? That's dominating the sort of talking head spin up here in New Hampshire. And honestly, I think that's probably about right. I can't envision a scenario in which Mitt Romney doesn't actually win the New Hampshire primary. Then it comes into how big is the margin and then what does that mean? The Romney camp won't talk numbers, but I have very close friends who work deep inside, and obviously they're looking at something that is hopefully going to be a double-digit win. Anything that's mid-30s and higher, they're going to consider that a great, strong victory and move forward with real momentum going into South Carolina. Anything that tightens up into single digits is going to make them nervous. But let me at least remind you, in 2008, Greg, John McCain surged in the fourth quarter of the 08 GOP primary and won New Hampshire a second time. And Mitt Romney was the poll leader almost all the way through that GOP competition, and he lost it at the end. I know they are pushing very hard, really taking nothing for granted, even though that's cliche on the campaign trail, it's true. And they're going to savor the victory that everyone expects them to have tomorrow night because they're looking back at 08 and wishing that the outcome was different.
And then below Mitt Romney in these surveys, for the most part, it looks like Ron Paul's in second, and then a pretty tight jam with John Huntsman, Rick Santorum, and Newt Gingrich right behind there. We talked about the expectations for Romney. How important is a second-place finish, particularly for somebody like Huntsman, who's put all his eggs in this basket?
That's very, very important. The race right now seems to be for probably third place. It seems like Ron Paul's support is static but firm. They're going to show up. They're going to vote. I don't see his number skyrocketing, but I also don't see it dropping. He's right around that high teens to 20%, and everyone seems to expect that's just what he's going to get here in New Hampshire, which is probably going to firm up a second-place finish, which means that Huntsman, Newt Gingrich, and Rick Santorum are battling it out for third. Huntsman really needs the third-place finish. He put all of his eggs into one basket, if you will, by skipping Iowa and just focusing on New Hampshire. If any of those three can surge ahead of Ron Paul, they become the story of the night. But whoever the third-place finisher is becomes the one who is probably crowned by the media as the true conservative alternative. Ron Paul, for all of his successes, is still the outsider, is still someone who is seen as not electable, is gathering in a mixture of independents, even some disaffected Democrats, as well as Republicans, who are following a different path, if you will, politically speaking. So he's, and it's unfortunate because he is working hard, but he's not taken as seriously as the other three, and that's where the focus is.
Last question real quick, Scott. Sounds like most of these folks are prepping for the next fight, which would be South Carolina. Is there anyone in this field that you think might exit if they have a particularly disappointing finish tomorrow?
I'm not hearing that. From the New Hampshire perspective, it seems like everybody's preparing to go to South Carolina. Maybe Rick Perry's our best barometer on this thing. He's not even going to be in New Hampshire on Tuesday for the vote. He's going to finish in last place. He has not been performing well, and he's been blowing off New Hampshire, but he's still telling everybody that he's going to South Carolina. So if he's not going to drop, I would say the only potential person dropping out of the race before South Carolina votes could be Huntsman. If he has a really rough night, then he may do what Michelle Bachmann did and say, well, you know, I put it all into one state, it didn't work out, and that's it. But the polls are suggesting that he will have an excuse to be able to fight on.
All right. Well, we'll get the very early results from Dixville Notch a little bit later tonight, and then the more concrete results once the polls close on Tuesday. Scott, thank you very much, as always, for your time.
Hey, Greg, my pleasure. I enjoy it.
Thank you, sir. Scott Spradling, a former news director for WMUR TV in New Hampshire. He's now head of the Spradling Group. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.